Welcome to the CMO Marketing Podcast, where we interview business owners, leaders, or marketing professionals to find out their lessons and stories for success.
Welcome to the CMO Marketing Podcast. My name is Simon Dell, and I am your host. I am the CEO of CMO, spelled C-E-M-O-H, and you can find us at CMO.com. We are the marketplace for marketing people. If you want to reach out and say hello to us, you can go straight to that website and find us there. You can talk to me on Simon@CMO.com or find me on all of the various social media platforms. And if you feel really nice and really generous, then please go to any one of the podcast platforms that you're listening to this on, and please rate and review us. Today we're going to talk about boring products, and we're with the general manager of EJ, the GM of Asia Pacific in EJ, a gentleman by the name of Simon Bottomley. So welcome to the show, Simon.
Thank you, Simon. Great to be with you.
Awesome first name. So get that out of the way. So we're going to talk about marketing a boring product today. So just for everybody's benefit out there, give us a little bit of an overview about who EJ are, what they do, and more importantly, what it is that they sell.
Yep. Okay, EJ is a fifth generation family business. We're headquartered in Michigan, United States, and we started off in 1883, which was a timber cutting town, and we were making, you know, iron components for the timber cutting industry. And some years after that, the timber was all cut and they needed to innovate and move into a new space. And at that time, Detroit was just starting to get developed. There was a need for municipal castings, and our guys changed their product and went after the utility market of sewer and stormwater castings for the streets, okay, as well as the fire hydrant that you see in all the American movies. So, you know, that's a product that's used worldwide, and yep, our guys have been making it since that time.
So if we're wandering around Brisbane or Australia, where everyone's listening to this, where would they see the EJ product? Are we literally walking over them in the, or we're, driving over them in the street?
Yeah, walking and driving over them every day. So okay, if you're walking around the streets of Brisbane City and you're looking down on the footpath, you'll see big black rectangles, and they're an EJ cover covering up the electrical pits for Energex. So we do a lot of that sort of work. You'll see a lot of Telstra covers on the footpath. That's us. And then on the roadways, you'll see sewer and stormwater covers and the road gully grates in the gutters. So all of that type of product that's silently working away,
yeah,
protecting those underground assets and allowing people and vehicles to drive over them safely. And then they can be opened up when access is required.
So, I mean, I guess not a very, as I say, not a very exciting product, but an absolutely essential product.
Essential and useful, and you certainly know when they're not working. They're not working correctly, you know.
Yeah.
I saw some footage in the floods last year in Brisbane, and you could see some covers that had popped out, and of course they were then a big hole in the ground that's quite dangerous for, you know, passing traffic or people that are walking around in the floodwaters trying to do the rescue efforts. So what we've done is we've innovated. We've got some product under trial here in Brisbane City with the stormwater division. Okay. And they're manhole covers that'll pop, allow the back pressure surge out, but the cover will not pop up and float away.
Right.
So that cover will just stay in position no matter what force. And then once the floodwaters have eased, that cover will just drop back into position and protect that manhole for the future. Okay.
I guess probably one of the first questions I had is that I suspect these things don't need replacing very often. I mean, you know, if you supply one to Telstra or Energex or the city council, yep, I mean, how long do these things last?
We've got covers in the the Australian division's been going for just about 40 years.
Right.
And I could go out and show you covers that we put in our first year of business.
Wow.
Still there doing the job. So that's 40 years. But I've been up in Michigan and I've seen covers that our company produced in the late 1800s, still there. And you walk around the old city, like you walk around Detroit and you'll see manhole covers badged with like 1920 cast on them. So, you know, cast iron by its nature is very good for manhole covers and grates because it's a durable material. It's hard wearing. It'll take, you know, a bashing by traffic. It'll take a bashing with sledgehammers. You know, there it's a tough product. You know, they say, we've got a saying, cast will last. And it means, you know, you put our castings in, they could be there for 100 years or more.
Yeah. But I guess the challenge then with that whole business model is, you know, you're not...
How do you keep selling?
Well, how do you keep selling them? Yeah, once you've done a city, then, you know, I guess your opportunities are, you know, perhaps you go back and see them 100 years later or something like that, see if they want to buy again. You
probably
know?
Won't be me. No. But cities are constantly evolving and growing and changing. Yeah. So at the moment, a lot of our business comes from the new subdivisions being built. So as housing's growing, land's being subdivided, they're putting in new roads, there's new services required. So a lot of our product is going into those new builds.
Yeah.
But also you get areas of the city that undergo redevelopment. So they go in and they're changing a precinct.
Yeah.
That gets cut up. Of course, there's a regeneration of the services, moving them around, upgrading them, and we get work that way as well. So, you know, there's constantly new applications requiring underground networks. And, you know, we say that, you know, modern societies require good, efficient underground networks to function. Yeah. And, you know, it's not only sewer and stormwater, but it's telecoms, it's lighting, it's data, gas, petroleum. So it's a very wide market that requires our sort of products.
And I guess a large proportion of your business must be won via tender. Would that be the case?
Some of it. More often than not, it's on personal relationships.
Right.
Okay. People that have relationships with EJ. There's only so many people or contractors that are involved in this sort of work. And it's the old story that if you're working with them and you look after them and you do a good job, they think favorably of you and they carry you on to the next job. So, you know, we call it customer connection.
Yeah.
Having that very real, very honest, and doing a good job and living up to what you say you're going to do is so important, because, you know, it's this brand that will then carry us from job to job.
Yeah. And I guess aside from the customer relations side of things, if you are, I'm assuming you're not the only people making these things out there. There presumably must be other competitors. But aside from the customer relations, how do you guys stand out? How do you make a circular piece of metal stand out from your competitors? Because, you know, and I guess the danger in circumstances like this is some people might go, well, that's one piece of circular metal and there's another piece of circular metal over there. Just buy whichever one's the cheapest. There must be a danger in this kind of business to start cutting price in order to win jobs and things.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and there's a lot of people that will go and buy the cheapest product, and it might be okay, but it's when things go wrong that you really need to be able to rely on the brand or the company that you're dealing with. You know, this year we've been in business 140 years, and you don't get to that sort of age by cutting corners and taking, you know, the cheap options. Mm. So it's about making sure that our product does what we say it's going to do, that it lives up to the job it has to do in a harsh environment. And part of that comes down to meeting all the local standards. So, you know, all around the world, the EJ factories and divisions all work to a local standard for that community.
Okay.
And here in the Australian market, we have an Australian standard, which is actually one of the toughest in the world.
Right.
Significantly tougher than even what our blokes in Europe do. You know, we sell product all across Europe. A lot of those products, we need to upgrade them here for the Australian market. And in order to show that we're complying and meeting those standards, we've got a test laboratory built here on our Brendale site. We're NATA accredited, and we've brought in a large computerized testing machine that allows us to exert loads onto our covers to ensure they're going to make the test load and the deflections under load.
Yeah.
And we can test product right up to aircraft rating. So it's 1,000 kilonewton, 100 ton test facility.
Okay. And I guess that itself then is a marketing tool, because you can sit there and, you know, anybody who wants to really understand the care and attention that you put into producing these products, that test facility itself becomes a marketing tool. So do you guys bring people along to that, or you sort of show videos of, of that, or what's that? How do you use that?
Well, we do invite a lot of customers into our facility.
Yep.
So at the moment, we're working with Energex and Telstra and the Brisbane City Council very heavily on a whole new range of products. And we've innovated products to better suit what their field staff have to contend with. So okay. we're making heavy manhole covers more user-friendly by helping them with, you know, lift assist options to make them easier to open, hinges, special locks to stop any vandalization of the underground network. So part of that is bringing those teams here into Brendale.
Yeah.
They get to witness their product being checked for size and dimension. We put them on the test rig, proving to them that we're meeting all those Australian test loads. We also have a large water tank where we put the products in for water testing to make sure that there's no water getting down into the pits or no smells coming up out of the pits. And then we've also got a range of composite manhole covers. So they're lighter weight, non-conductive, non-corrosive.
Yeah.
So it's a different material for different applications. And with composites, there's a whole range of extra tests required. There's a striker test where you've got to drop a 20 kilogram weight from a certain height to make sure you're not going to smash or crack the surface.
Right.
We've just recently been doing UV testing. We've been doing elevated temperature testing to make sure the product will still take the loading when it's heated up to a 50 degree temperature. And fatigue testing. We've got the covers currently on a test rig and it has to undergo 300,000 cycles.
Right.
And then be tested again to make sure that it's going. It's like that old IKEA chair that used to have.
I know what you mean.
Stuff.
Yeah.
So all of this sort of testing and proving is about making sure that our customers, ourselves and the general public can sleep easy at night, knowing that the infrastructure that's being built is adequate and will do the job.
Yeah. And I guess for the, you know, the people who come and see all that, I guess that's like a little, you know, engineering nerds kind of dream day out watching all that stuff happen. I bet I bet they get really excited over that, don't they?
And it's a critical part of making sure that you're selling a product that you can stand behind. And, you know, if anything goes wrong, you've got to be able to demonstrate that you've been doing the right things. And if there's a problem, you go to site, you stand behind your product, you get it fixed, you don't leave your customer in the lurch. And that's what we do. You know, for 140 years we've been doing it. We don't run away from a problem and we're very proud of the product we sell.
Yeah.
And getting back to your little question about how do we make these metal covers different? So, you know, we do have all these advanced sort of features that we're working with to make them more user-friendly.
Yeah.
You can also, you know, you've got all these manhole covers in the street. We're working, you know, like in America, they do a great job of badging covers for the local community. So every community has its own local saying or coat of arms or image.
Right.
And you can walk around the streets of any town in the US and you'll often see covers with these beautiful badgings and it gives you a great sense of community feel.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get that happening here in the Asia Pacific. New Zealand does a great job of it. We're doing a lot of manhole covers for New Zealand that use the Maori sort of design. That's like street art in the street. And, you know, it's something that's very beautiful. We're looking at doing some similar things here in Australia. And we're currently talking with the Lord Mayor of Brisbane City Council, Lord Mayor Schrinner, and even the regional mayors here in Moreton Bay region, where we're looking at a number of options. And one of them is putting logo covers together.
All right.
There's one that we've made. And we had Lord Botham out here with the UK Consulate General looking at businesses in the Moreton Bay region. And we made up a special manhole cover for him. I can pull the plate out. So this is a logo plate we made for Lord Botham. And celebrating his cricket time. And you'll see there's a little QR code on the side. And when you flash your mobile phone at it, it brought up a YouTube movie that we'd created of all of his greatest hits. So he was quite chuffed to see that he could have been immortalised on the street.
Yeah.
Was, you know, like the idea is that if you had a stadium, you could put, you know, historical sort of plaques around of the most valuable players, and then you can change them out, you know, from season to season as well.
This is a conspiracy theory dream because, like, you could just put some crazy kind of weird numbers and symbols on all of them and just drive people nuts trying to think there's some sort of hidden meaning behind them all. I want to just sort of, you know, understand, when you talk to customers, when you see customers, what are some of the other marketing essentials that you kind of need to have? I mean, I suppose you could be sending small mini versions of those as samples in the mail, but, you know, like, do you guys produce like brochures, and is there, you know, what sort of other bits and pieces from a marketing aspect do you have available?
Our market is fairly traditional. We're dealing with you know, contractors that are out on the hot, dusty job sites.
Yeah.
They're out there doing hard work, and a lot of them don't have time for a very, you know, heavily involved sales pitch. We're out there, we have a range of you know, small catalogs focusing on, you know, we've got a full catalogue in the Americas. It's like an old Yellow Pages phone book because there's so many products in it. It's overwhelming. So what we've done is we've cut it down by you know, project sort of type or customer type, and we go out and we're giving them the hard copy catalogues.
Yeah,
so they can easily flick through and identify the type of manhole cover they need, check the sizes, find the code, and ring us up and place the order.
And that's an interesting, you know, I mean, that's an interesting point. You're still out there producing hard copy brochures, you know, and you're saying these are big, you know, these are thick kind of, there's a lot of pages to them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I guess the temptation in an industry like yours is when sort of some smart ass marketing person walks in and go, you know, why are we printing these brochures? Why don't we do a QR code and it links to a website and things like that? But I guess where I found industries similar to yours or dealing with similar kinds of people, that hard copy brochure, that traditionalist sort of look and feel thing is really welcomed because they want to keep it for a year. It will sit on their desk or their shelf behind them or something, and they'll constantly scratch notes to it. Yeah, absolutely. And you just can't do that with a, you know, a digital QR copy. You forget about it. It's almost, you know, obviously that sort of catalog is a marketing tool, but it's something, you know, that they'll keep on their desk or near their desk, isn't it?
And it's, you know, it's seen as a little bit old school these days,
but
I still prefer it. Like, you know, you're looking at so much email or information on the computer. It's nice to get away from reading on the screen and be actually holding a catalog, feeling it, being able to flip the pages, and you can quite quickly find what you want rather than scrolling away. And on the job site, it's easy to share it around, point at what you've got with some of your colleagues. And so it still has a place, and it has a big place in traditional sort of industries. And of course, we're doing all the clever stuff too. We are doing digital catalogs on our website. We're doing things with, you know, YouTube, and we've got QR codes. And so all of that stuff plays a part as well. And, you know, LinkedIn posts and digital media. So we use a whole suite of it, but still the old traditional stuff still works. It comes down, you know, catalogs, being out with your customers, shaking hands, having a beer. The old time stuff still has a place, and it's still very strong. And and that helps with that strong customer relationship.
And that's kind of the last question I wanted to end today, that customer relationship point, was that must be hard to manage because twofold is there's obviously a lot of customers. You guys worldwide have a lot of customers, and a lot of them must jump over, you know, obviously federal contacts. And again, I don't know how it operates in Asia, but there must be people that are, you know, in charge of, I don't know, multiple cities or multiple regions and things like that. And they must move quite frequently. You know, they must potentially change jobs, change email, change. How do you manage that? What do you guys use as a CRM out there?
Well, our American and European colleagues are using Salesforce.
Okay.
And they have that in. It's been in for a long time, and they're doing a lot of great things with it. We were using it here in Australia, and At the moment, we're looking at a new system. So, you know, CRMs do a great job.
Yeah.
Allow you to keep track of what you've been communicating with people so that other sales teams can pick up the thread and follow it along. So here in Australia, we're still, you know, still fairly old school in terms of, you know, we do a lot of it just through, you know, a mix of spreadsheets and handwritten notes. We're a small team. We have a lot of, you know, meetings here about what's going on in the marketplace, what we're doing. And it just comes down to being real in terms of, you know, getting off your ass, out of the office and out visiting the customers where it suits them the best.
Mate, thank you very much for your ideas and your stories today. It's fascinating. It's fascinating listening to how you know the depth of information about what is essentially a product that probably nobody really knows much about, but probably sees every day of their life. So that's been absolutely fascinating. Last question is: if anybody wants to reach out to you, follow up with other questions, or maybe they need a manhole cover. Who knows? Severely doubt anyone listening to this podcast is going to need a manhole cover, but who knows? What's the best way of reaching out to you? Where's best to find you?
Well, you can find us via our website, which is ejco.com, and on there you can find any of the, you know, the Americas, EMEA, or you find us in the Asia Pacific. Yep. And but apart from that, you can certainly grab me on email, which is just simon.bottomley@ejco.com, ejco.com.
Yeah, and you're on LinkedIn as well. If anyone wants to find you there as well, mate. Thank you very much for your time today. It's been extremely interesting, and I wish you luck and catch up soon.
I hope you're walking down the streets looking for my brand.